Welcome, Pastor Charlie. Wonderful, wonderful testimony he's going to share.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Unami. 3 weeks ago, I woke up one morning. We all wake up in the morning, I know. And it was very early in the morning, and And I was wide awake. I thought, I'm going to go for a walk. So I got in my car, drove down to Port Beach. I love walking along the beach. And I walked from Port Beach down to the North Mole, where the lighthouse is. And there's a footpath, there's a road, you hit the groin. And so you go, so it's a bit windy, and you go down this straight, just walking, and there's the rocks. And I was getting towards the end, and then you kind of turn right, and you have the lighthouse. Getting towards the end there, I could hear this motor running. And it was a boat. It was a fishing vessel. And I couldn't see it. It was really dark. It was pitch black. So I'm looking, and I'm just looking, and I could see in the horizon, South Fremantle, you can see lights. Then Henderson, you see lights in the background. I couldn't see this boat. And then I could just see the boat coming in front of the lights. And I thought, how come this boat doesn't have any lights? I kind of looked around and saw other boats out in the dark and they had lights on. I thought, why doesn't it have any lights? So I'm thinking, wow, it's pitch black. How do you... That's scary. That is really scary. And so I know they have a navigation system and they know where they're going, but there was just no lights. And I could only hear it, and it heads out towards the heads and out to the ocean. Gone fishing. And I was actually a little bit, I kind of felt a bit scared. I thought, whoa, wow, okay. That's what my life was like before I came to Christ. Very dark. Didn't know where I was going, didn't know what I was doing. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Charlie Ricardo. I run Port Care and in Fremantle. I have been a part of the C3 Church for 28 years, actually a lot longer than that, but 28 years Fremantle and down here. And I have a family. I raised my family here in Fremantle, in Frio. This is my wife, Helen, over here. I've got some photos here. We've got some photos of my three children, my two sons, my daughter. They are now all married. My son on that end, which is that end for you, I think. He has a daughter and my daughter has a daughter. My daughter lives in the UK. She married an Englishman. And I believe next year they'll be here. Please pray that they'll be here next year. Yeah. If they're not here, I'll be coming back and blaming all of you. No, they are. They're coming back. And my son was living in Sydney with his wife and daughter, and they're back in Perth now. So I look forward to when everybody is back here. So that's my family. We raised them up in the house of God. And Fremantle was our church, and it was just a fantastic place to belong, a great place to plant yourselves and your children, just a fantastic place. That's everybody there all together. I love them all to bits. I have two beautiful daughters-in-law. My son-in-law's great too. They're really lovely. So we've been talking about our faith story. But before I get into that, I want to thank Pastor Stephen and Pastor Unami for allowing me to share. I'm really honored by that. And thank you very much. Last week we heard from Andrew Baker, his faith story. Who heard that? Who was here? If you weren't here, you've got to go online. You've got to listen to it. It was fantastic. It was awesome. And he took us on his journey. Then at the very end, the last part of his faith journey, he said, was, it hasn't been written yet. So he's walking into that over this next chapter of your lives. And so I just want to encourage everybody that your faith story is not finished yet. I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know, you know, maybe you've had a broken relationship. Maybe you're suffering from grief. Maybe things haven't gone your way. Maybe you've lost your car. You've lost your house. I don't know. I don't know. But God knows, and God's writing your story. I encourage you to surrender your life to the living God. Build your life following Jesus Christ. You know, and whatever career path you're in and what you choose, take God with you in everything you do. Let him be the Lord and the boss of your life. Yeah? I grew up in an immigrant family. My parents are from Italy. They came out here in the 60s. And my mum was very loving, very good cook. She was, you know, very compassionate. And it was good fun. Eating was really good. We never went without, and we always ate well. We did. If anything, if they had to save on something to make sure we had good food, that's what they did. And so that's what it was like. My dad was a very, very hard worker. He provided a roof over our heads. He was secure. You know, he had a job, worked hard, and, you know, built a house, then built another house, you know, sold that, then moved into that one. And my mum today is 91 years of age, and she still cooks, and she loves cooking. She loves hospitality. She just loves it. If you go there, you won't go out. You will not leave without eating something. I'm telling you, that's just what it's like. My dad passed away at 88 years of age, about 4 years ago. We did not have a good relationship, to be honest with you. It was very dysfunctional. My dad wasn't a father. He was just someone who was the figurehead in the house, brought the money home, and it was hard. But in all of that, the last probably 15 years of his life, we really got on so well and so fantastically. And I was a part at the end when he passed away. God was just on it all, and it was just beautiful and fast and fantastic, you know. And so I don't know what your relationship's like with your mum or your dad. You know, they may go to the grave without you ever reconciling. That could happen. But do you know what? Allow God to grace you with his grace and minister to you and bring wholeness to your life. Okay? He will do that. So growing up, my parents were not disciplined. They weren't disciplinarians. We just did what we wanted to do. You know, we'd come home from school, we would go out on our bikes, we would kick the footy around, we would play cricket, we'd come home, we'd eat, then we'd go back out again. That's just what we did. The only time we stayed home was if there was a project due tomorrow. We better finish our project and have it ready and take it to school, and, you know, it gets marked like as usual. So it was never like, no, you're not going out, you've got to study for an hour every day and then you can go and have your fun. No, it was never ever like that. We were just left to our own devices, which is not very good, let me tell you, especially for boys, all right? I don't know what it's like for girls, but for boys, probably the same. So I remember just growing up, and I just used to have these questions, you know, about the meaning of life. What is the meaning of life? What's the go? You know, you go to school, you know, primary school, high school. I wouldn't even think of going to uni. Just wouldn't you just go out and get a job, a labouring job or an apprenticeship? Okay, you get a job, then you turn 17, you get a car. You know, wow, I thought I can't wait. Then you get a girlfriend, or we always had girlfriends earlier, but you know, you have a girlfriend and your car looks good, looks cool, you know. And then eventually you probably get married, you know, buy a house, have kids, and probably get a boat. Then you die. Is that it? Is that it? Is that life? And so I always had that, was always quite prominent in my head. You know, what's it really all about? So I can vividly remember that within me there was like this emptiness, and always craving to try and fulfill this emptiness that was in my life. And so when I got my car, I was wrapped. Oh, this is awesome. You know, had a girlfriend. You know, oh, yep, this is it. That didn't go too well. And then, you know, then you might have another girlfriend and it's great, but then it's, you know, wow, gee, I tell you what. I knew how to save money, right? I did. I knew how to save money. I saved money. When I was 20 going on 21, I bought a house and rented it out for a bit. Then I moved in, had some friends come in. Anyway, so what's life really all about? What's the go? I was very anti-drugs, right? Just, I was quite a health guy. I loved to run. I loved to keep fit. And drugs was not an option for me. In fact, in about year, I think it was about year 9, we had 2 brothers that used to come to our high school. And they would come just doped out of their heads. In the morning, they would come smoking. They'd smoke it before school. And he would say to me, "Oh, Charlie, man, you should try this, man. This is so cool, you know." And I thought, and looking at him, I was like, "Oh God, no! This is a sad case, you know." So as I'm growing, some of my friends began to experiment and start smoking marijuana. Some got into some other things, and I had resisted for a long time. I thought, "No, I'm not going down. I'm not going down that track." And saw some sad and sorry messes, saw some of my friends having paranoia, and it was just crazy, you know, just madness. So, you know, I hit the nightclub scene. Who remembers the nightclub scene when disco dancing was around? John Travolta, you know, Olivia Newton-John, that kind of music, that was the go. And we thought we were pretty cool, you know, but we weren't. It was all just plastic, fantastic. It was very plastic, very plastic, very fake, not real. Something when I was 12 and I was at high school, I remember the guys talking about this youth outreach, and they would say, "Are you guys going to this youth outreach?" Yeah, I'm going. Somebody would invite me and I wouldn't go. Then eventually I would go. It was on every Monday night down at this, opposite this school. We would play volleyball. We would have lots of fun. And then at the end of the night, this man would speak and he would talk about Jesus. So I start to hear these stories about Jesus and what he did for us, you know, dying on the cross. And so I thought, wow, you know. But that was it. It was just a story for me, you know. So that's when I started to really hear the gospel. And I remember we used to go on these outings. Like a week before, they would say, "Okay, next week we're going to go down the beach. We're going to have lots of people here. We're going to pile in cars." This is what you did back then. Those guys from the church with panel vans, cars, you just pile in. We would go down the beach. I'm not talking about 20 people. I'm talking about like 40, 50 people. And we would play lantern stalk. Who remembers lantern stalk? You kids, you're missing out, eh? So what you would do, you'd go down the beach and the darkness would come. You'd have this lantern on a sand hill, right? And there would be like 7 people that would have to guard this lantern. But you couldn't just stand up on top of the hill. These 7 people guarding it had to go around looking for the other 40-odd people who would sneak around, climb through the sand dunes, through the bushes, and then you race up and you touch the lantern and you've made it home, you know. And so we used to have, it used to be lots and lots of fun. It was fantastic. And it wasn't always like that, but many times we would go on these outings. And so it was really good fun. So Christians do have fun, eh? They have lots of fun. So I wanted to become a plumber. But I couldn't get a plumbing apprenticeship. And so one day I got this phone call at home from a friend of mine who was an apprentice butcher. He said, Charlie, I know some people looking for an apprentice butcher. Would you like to do it? I said, yeah, sure. He said, it's 3 months probation. I thought, I'll go there for 3 months. I'll earn some money and then I'll quit. At least I'll make some money, you know. So I went and I stayed. And so I'm a butcher by trade. And when I was in about my second, third year apprenticeship, my boss bought another shop and he asked me to manage it. So I managed it for him. And one day this gentleman walked into the shop. He said, excuse me, he says, I've locked my keys in the car. Have you got any wire? And I said, yeah, sure. Just head around the back. There'll be some wire there. And, you know, so he did. Half an hour later, he comes back into the shop and he thanks me. And he's... thanks a lot. And he starts to walk out the door and then he turns around and he said to me, young man, I've got to tell you something. Jesus loves you. Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus is the meaning and the purpose of life. And so I'm listening and I'm now 19, right? Mature, know everything, not. You know, Jesus says, I have come to bring the gospel to the poor. Let me tell you, I was bankrupt. Spiritually, as a person, I was bankrupt. I was just, really, I was in the dark. I was lost. You know, I was lost. I was a sheep. With no shepherd, just out in the wilderness, just lost. And so from there, he invited me to his home. I met his family. He encouraged me to go to the church that his daughters attended, which was called Shiloh Faith Center. Tammy, you know Shiloh Faith Center, don't you? And Shiloh means peace. And so Shiloh today is C3 Church, Hepburn Heights. Okay? So I went to that church. I sat probably about the middle to the middle aisle at the very end. It was a massive church, about 700 people. And I was probably about 10 seats. They had pews, wooden pews. And I'm sitting there and I'm on my own. And it was beautiful. It was peaceful. People were happy, people were smiling when they're singing, and you know, it was just really good. And then this gentleman gave a call for people that wanted to be saved, that wanted to come to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. So I'm sitting there and I'm going, yeah. But I hear this voice, and this voice said to me, no, don't. Get out. Run. And I was like, no, this is what I'm doing. So that day, that night, I came out the front and I gave my life to Christ. I had a young man who followed me up, who mentored me and helped me. And let me say that my life just turned around. I began reading the Bible. I began going to church. I stopped going to the nightclubs. Not because someone didn't have to tell me not to go. They just didn't do anything for me anymore. It was just, you know. And I remember my mother saying to me, because I wasn't going out like I used to. She goes, what's happened? What have you done? Are you in trouble? She thought I was, you know. I said, no, Mum, it's okay. Says, things are changing for me. I was so hungry for the Word of God. I would read. I would be crying because I would see the love of God. I would come to church on a Sunday and I would sing and I would worship God. And things were happening in my heart. My life was being transformed. My life was being changed. I listened to the Word of God and it was just alive and it was wonderful. It was glorious. And so things just began just to totally, totally, totally turn around for me. I had the beautiful peace and the presence of God in my life. I feel like I now have purpose and meaning. And everywhere I went, I took Jesus with me. Everywhere. I had times when I got at work, I remember when I got ridiculed. And these people were just bagging me out. Just bagging me out. And I was like, are they right? And I was so battered in my head. Emotionally, I was just battered. Battered. I remember going home and I was confused. I was, should I be doing this? You know what? And I was just battered. That night there was a big meeting on at the church, like all the Bible study groups came together. And I walked into the church. This is that night. I remember walking in and I felt this beautiful thing, beautiful presence of God. And this thing just lifted off me. And I thought, oh, I just felt great. The Lord began to teach me about spiritual warfare. You know, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment shall be contemned. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. For their righteousness of me, says God. So we all have this faith story. All of it. You have your story. And your story, like we heard from Andrew last week, is unique. That's beautiful. It's special. It's unique. Now, Lily, I don't know what kind of a life you've had, but I think it's been pretty good. Would I be right? I think it's been pretty good. I don't think you're a girl that was, you know, onto drugs and rock and roll. But you've got a great story. I wish my story was that, because the heartache and the darkness I went through, I would rather have not had that, but just know Christ and follow Him. If your kids of the house here this morning, you don't need to go out and try what everybody else is doing out there. Seriously, you don't. I did try marijuana in the end. I did. And the time that I did, I remember praying. I remember thinking, I am really in a bad way now for me. I'm in a bad way. I am really desperate. I'm really scraping at the bottom of the barrel. And I remember feeling, it was like there was this big hole. And as I was smoking this, I could literally feel like I was heading down this hole. And let me tell you, it was horrible. It felt great at the time when I had it. It felt great. And it does feel good. That's why people take it. But I've had Jesus. Jesus is much better than that. Jesus gives you a lift and gives you a beautiful presence and a beautiful peace. So I'm down there. I'm at the bottom of the barrel. And let me tell you, it's a horrible place. There was times when I looked back after, I thought there was times I was just touching on paranoia. And thankfully, the Lord rescued me in time. Had I kept going and kept down that in that track, God, I don't know where I would be today. I definitely wouldn't have the children I have, my wife. I wouldn't be in the house of God. I could be dead. No doubt about it. It's no doubt about it whatsoever. So you have your faith story. And it's unique to you. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Now, you've got to find Jesus Christ for yourself. Your mum can't do it. Your dad can't do it for you. They can show you and they can encourage you. But at the end of the day, you've got to make that decision and find him for yourself. That's really important. That's really vital. So with our faith story, who are you going to tell? Who are you going to share it with? We have our Christmas story. We have our Christmas services coming up. Please invite your friends, your family, anybody. Take a photo of this and send it to your friends. Say, hey, try and come along to one of our services. At least come to one. Invite them. Take them out for lunch after. Reaching out to people is one of the most satisfying, and it's wonderful. I remember a time being on a train. Me and my friend, we went to Melbourne. And we're on this train, and I remember sitting in the carriage. And at one stop, all these kids came on. These kids were going on this school excursion. And I'm sitting on this train. They're all sitting around. They start talking to us. So I started to share my faith with them. Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus. And I'm just talking to them, telling them what they can do to have Jesus come into their lives. So we sow. We sow the word of God. We sow the gospel in people's lives. Things may not turn for them straight away, but they will. There'll be a point where they will come to Christ. Last night, I was at this 60th birthday party, some friends of mine, and my friend has this relative, and he was there with his wife, and we're sitting at the table at this restaurant, and I tried to connect with him, but it just wasn't happening. And so that's okay. So I just talk to other people and just hello, blah, blah, blah. Then after the dinner, we went back to their house for dessert, for the cake. And so, because it wasn't very far away from the restaurant. So we went there and I just wanted to talk to him. I wanted to ask him what he did. It's just, when I'm sitting, I'm going, I wanted to say to him, mate, what do you do? So anyway, so we're not at the table, we're just standing around the table, the cakes are there, and I just went up to him and says, so what do you do? What do you do with yourself? And he started to tell me what he does. And he works for the seafood company in Fremantle. And I'm going, oh yeah. I said, do you know such and such and such and such? These are two owners of this seafood of a seafood company. And he looks at me and he goes, yeah. They're 50% owners of this company that I work for. I says, yeah, they're Christians. He goes, yeah, she just gave me a Bible. So we got chatting. He asked me what I did. I spoke to him about Port Care. And he said to me, he goes, when you come down to our cold storage next, he goes, this is where my office is. He said to me, you walk in the front door, he goes, blah, blah, and this is where, he goes, come in and see me. So I said, sure, no worries. So reach out to people. Talk to people. You'd be surprised how many people are responsive to the gospel, to the love of God. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And you don't know when they're going to need it. In 1914, the Empress of Ireland, it's a passenger ship, was going from Liverpool to Canada, Quebec, the port of Quebec, then back again, backwards and forwards, taking immigrants. Some immigrants would come from the UK, go to Canada. A year later, they weren't happy with what they were doing, so they thought, we're going back home, so they'd go back. So it was owned by the Canadian Railroad Company and so on. Anyway, so they owned this ship. So On one of their voyages in May of 1914, it was quite a foggy night. And there was over 1,400 people on the boat, on this passenger liner. And they were heading to the UK. And not far out from where they left, I mean, it was miles out, it was quite foggy. And they got hit by a cargo steamship. And the boat went down. The Titanic took like 3 hours to go down because of where it got hit. This one here got hit by another boat and it went down under 15 minutes. They say it was 14 minutes. There was over 400 survivors, over 1,400 people, but there was just over 400 survivors. And this man recounts this story of when he was in the water. He's in the water and he sees this girl swimming to him against the waves, against the current, and she throws this vest at him. He says, put this on. And he said to her, he goes, you're younger than me, you need this. And he threw it back at her. And she said, sir, tonight I will die well. She threw the vest back at him and said, put it on. On board the ship, there was 120 people from the Quebec Salvation Army Church. They were traveling to Liverpool for a convention. And a third of them were these young adults. And this young woman was one of them. What an amazing story of courage. She's prepared to die so this man could live. There's another story. I'll tell you this other story of the Titanic when that went down. On board the ship was a Scottish evangelist by the name of John Harper. He had his sister and his daughter on the boat. His wife had passed away. She was ill a few years before. He put his sister on a lifeboat and his daughter on a lifeboat and he went down with the ship. People could hear him going and swimming to people and telling them to turn their life over to Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and you will be saved. Andrew, can we please have the scripture in Romans? Please. Romans chapter 8, chapter 10, verse 8. It's going to go to 15, yeah? Thanks. Okay, can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Leave that up there for me, Andrew. How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? How can they hear about him unless someone shares? We can do this. We can do this. We can do this. Take the opportunity this Christmas to share your faith, to invite people to the services. Lots of people will come at Christmas time. They're very open to coming and hearing the gospel. Please invite your friends and your family. Let's stand up, please. Thank you, Lily. Just while the musos are playing, can we let's close our eyes. You don't have to, but if you want to close your eyes, close them. If you want to leave them open, you may do that. That's okay. Begin to ask the Lord, who can you invite? Who can you ask? There'll be one, there'll be two, there'll be many. Take a photo. Send it to many of your friends. Invite them. There'll be ones that you'll pick up the phone to invite. There'll be those that you work with, you can talk to. And you can ask your friends, what do you think of Christmas? Do you know about the Christmas message? Maybe you're here today and it's God's calling you to surrender your life to Him. You know, you have faith in Him, you know Him, but God's saying, I'm calling you, my son, I'm calling you, my daughter, just to come and set yourself aside for me. If you need some prayer, prayer of encouragement, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you would like to, please come. If you're struggling in any areas of your life, please come. God's presence is here to touch you and to encourage you and lift you up. So when you want to come, you come. We're just going to sing. And as we sing, just come. If you need to go, you go. That's okay. You head out. Please stay for a coffee. You're most welcome to. There's something you're struggling with. Don't walk out of here struggling. Please come and talk to us. Thank you. Father, I thank you for this morning. Father, show us, Lord, who you want us to invite. Put people on our hearts and on our minds. Give us strategies, Lord, how we can, Lord, invite people, how we can reach out to people. It could be by baking them a cake and taking it over to them, by building a relationship. Lord, however, Lord, you want us to reach out to people. Father God, let that happen, Lord, we pray. I pray, Lord, you just touch each and every person here, Father God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.